Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Pomp and Joe Show. Jason Mackey in for the guys. Do you ever do something? Somebody says something to you. You swear you heard them. You know you heard them. You remember hearing the words, and then you forget them? I don't know. Happens to me. My wife will say something to me, and I know that it goes in one ear and out the other, but I tried really hard to listen. I wasn't trying to ignore anybody, and something similar happened with me in Austin. He told me before the show started that he would have to leave at 1 o'clock for 10 minutes to go record something on the AM side. I said, okay, no problem. Not a big deal. I sketched out the show in such a way that that wouldn't matter. And we adjusted a little bit. And sure enough, I painted us into a corner where we were going to do a draft of great sports movies right when Austin had to leave. So that is on yours truly. Need to plug in my brain and recharge it, or maybe unplug it and plug it back in. Maybe that would be a smart move instead. So it's actually timely, though. Before the break, we were talking about wild and wacky, unexpected Pittsburgh sports memories from 2024. I put the question out on Twitter and was curious what I would get. There's been a lot of Skeens stuff, which is understandable. I chose Skeens as my athlete of the year in 2024. I don't think there could be much of an argument mounted against that. I don't think, at least in terms of, like, you know, impactful out of nowhere story. A lot of Rowdy Tellez in the bonus situation for something that was crazy and unexpected. Completely reasonable. Jason Shetler brought up a good one. Paul Skeens starting the MLB All-Star game for the National League. That was, I remember that going on and that becoming a thing. And at first, the possibility seemed so out of bounds. I didn't think that could possibly happen. Then he does it, and the fuss surrounding it, and it was just a really, really cool moment. I made the trip to Texas to go write about it, and that was phenomenal. Somebody else tweeted in, Sean's Ramblings sent me a picture of Blake Hinson standing on the scorer's table at Duke. An iconic photo for sure. That was, you know, Pitt's win there, and Hinson standing there was fantastic. I really enjoyed that. Somebody else said bringing Skeens up, which could qualify. I think I listed that on my initial topic here. I mean, the fact that the Pirates broke camp with Jared Jones, the fact that Paul Skeens was up on May 11th, and honestly, I'll give the Pirates credit for how they handled the Skeens stuff. I thought it was really smart. And for anybody who hasn't heard this sermon or is unaware of why they did what they did, in Major League Baseball, it's sort of convention. You don't jump the innings of a young starting pitcher more than 20 or 30 year over year. And so Skeens finished with about 130 last year. His cap was going to be about 160. So you look at that and you say, how do we want to spend those? And that's not, that's not a Pirates thing. That's an industry thing. The Nationals, a bunch of years ago with Steven Strasburg, went hard fairly early in the year. They ran out of innings and shut him down. The Pirates didn't want to do that. The Pirates didn't want to do that because they thought they would be in contention, which they obviously weren't. But they structured it in such a way so Paul would theoretically be able to finish the season with the big club. But anyway, early on, they kept him in the minors so they could manipulate those innings a little bit better, and you weren't pulling a guy after two or three innings for a major league start and stressing your bullpen. But I will give them credit that Jones deserved to break camp with the big club, and he did. It's an interesting storyline, too, not to go down a Pirates rabbit hole again, but Bubba Chandler is going to have the opportunity to do the same thing. The Pirates are going to have a need. If you're not going to add externally, and we've been through this on this show about, you know, expectations versus what they've done and the frustration that exists, then you darn well better lean into the young guy thing. You darn well better use all of the bullets these guys have while you have them. If you're going to lose them to big market teams, which in a way is a Pirates problem, it's probably a bigger MLB problem. Pirates aren't going to go throw $700 million at Paul Skeens. Use them while you got them. And yes, I know, add to the team while they're there, maximize the window. These are separate discussions. Todd Riley suggests in our sort of obscure, out-of-nowhere memories from 2024, Pitt scoring two late touchdowns to beat West Virginia. Yeah, very good one. A memorable backyard brawl. Probably to a lesser degree, but in Morgantown, Penn State, opening the season, you have a two-plus hour lightning delay. They come back in the second half and really took it to the Mountaineers. But again, I would put that backyard brawl over that any day of the week. Best suggestion, honestly, might have come from two different people. One, Mern at Mern Loaf, and Bucks Talk at Talkin' Bucks. The quarterback room shakeup in March has to be it. The Russell Wilson signing and then the trading of Kenny Pickett. I mentioned the Kenny Pickett tantrum, but we're probably not giving enough credence to Russell Wilson coming in here. Yeah, it was whispered. It was being talked about. Joe Starkey would want me to tell you that he was the first media member in Pittsburgh to write that the Steelers should sign him. And Joe was right. It was a smart move, but I mean, who could have predicted that happening? That you're getting a 9-time Pro Bowler and a Super Bowl winning quarterback for nothing. Very good situation for the Steelers. Now I'm curious to see where it goes. That's a storyline that I think, I mean, it's been discussed. I heard Crowley talking about this. Pomp and I were kicking it around on Tuesday when we were in here together. What happens next? What happens next with the quarterback situation? I mean, I'm almost positive the Steelers went into this thing wanting, expecting Russ to be the guy for the entirety of this season. He plays well. They figure out a way to keep him here. That certainly makes the most sense. But I could hear an argument for Justin Fields. I've heard arguments for Justin Fields. I don't think it's a crazy way of thinking whatsoever. Justin Fields played really well. 4-2 as a starter. Put up some pretty good numbers. If over the past four games, what we've seen out of Russell Wilson continues, I'm not married to that. I doubt you are. If that means turn it over to Justin Fields, you can probably get him for a lower rate. You could probably get him for longer, give him a chance to realize his potential. I'll listen. I don't want him to draft a quarterback. I look at this year's group of passers, and there's nothing that really moves me. I don't want Shedeur Sanders here. I don't want Cam Ward here. I don't want Dylan Gabriel here. Good college players. I don't see them as elite pros. And maybe I'm wrong, but the other thing governing that line of thought is the Steelers having other holes I want them to fill. And I know that they need to fill. Look at their wide receiver spot opposite George Pickens. You're telling me they shouldn't use some pick in the draft, preferably in the top three rounds, to address that? I mean, if you want to spend in free agency, by all means, I'm not going to stop you, but I'd love to get some young guy in here who could fly. You know they're going to be available. Defensive line, you're going to have to draft Cam Hayward's successor at some point. Hopefully this year. I still think that would be my go-to spot in the draft. Defensive back, I don't know what to make of Dante Jackson. I talked about this earlier in the show. Beginning of the season, I thought it was fantastic. So what, 5 picks? Hasn't been good. After about the first 6 or 7 weeks, he's been among the worst cornerbacks in the NFL. And it was really bad against the Chiefs on Christmas Day. Very good chance that could continue on Saturday night against the Bengals. We know the offensive weapons they have. Anyway, welcome back, Austin.
Good to be here. We're talking about some Baldwin basketball previewing tomorrow's game.
All right.
Baldwin and South Fayette will be on KDKA.
I love it. I love it. Big season for the Highlanders, right?
9-0, baby.
All right.
Best start to the season since 84-85. Baldwin looking to try to win it all after losing in the championship game last year to Upper St. Clair. It's a sport and a team near and dear to my heart that I cover pretty often with doing play-by-play for their basketball games. And we also have a very special production we're putting together this year.
Really?
Very, yes. Can't give away all the details.
All right. But who's the head coach at Baldwin these days?
Jeff Ackerman.
Really?
Yeah, where did he go to high school? Brentwood. Yeah, I'm very aware.
Oh, man. I mean, that is crazy to me. You got a Brentwood guy as the head coach at Baldwin.
And he is one of the most successful. He listens to the show, by the way. Hi, Jeff. He might be listening right now.
What's up, Ack?
He is one of, and I've talked to him about this, one of the most successful coaches in Baldwin, in Baldwin basketball history, Whipple basketball history. I mean, think about it, Jason. He's won 5 Whipple titles. I think it's 3 at Moon and 2 at Pine Ridge. He's won a state title at Moon. He came to Baldwin, which was dubbed as a place where nobody can win. Like, you can't win at Baldwin. That was what the saying was. Like, Baldwin has not won since the 80s, where they went to the title game but lost it. Baldwin's never won a Whipple title. And going back to the 70s, when they made four semifinal appearances in 6 years, like, that was the peak of Baldwin basketball. Since then, they haven't won a section title since 1986. So what Jeff Ackerman has done to take over a team that was well below 500 to be now 9-0, one of only, I think, 4 teams, Mike White said in the Post-Gazette today, to be undefeated to start the season in the Whipple. And a huge game against Lafayette tomorrow. They beat Peters Township in the first section game of the year. That was a huge one. If Jeff Ackerman can win a section title with Baldwin and can win a Whipple championship with Baldwin and win 3 for 3 teams, he's going to be, and he should be, proclaimed as one of the greatest basketball coaches in Whipple history.
You know, the moral of that story, Austin,
is that
if you want something done, you trust somebody from Brentwood to do it. Also, not the only successful Brentwood graduate in the Whipple basketball coaching ranks, Dave Mislin, as well, won an award last year for sportsmanship, won the Stan Musial Award. But anyway, yes, I digress.
Did you like my basketball rant?
I loved it, actually. I was about to cheer you on. Very passionate.
Very passionate about it.
Dude, the older I get, the more I cling to that stuff. And I don't even care. Like, I'm old enough to feel passionately about things and disregard how it sounds. Like, I'm proud of Brentwood. I'm proud of Westminster.
You should.
I want to tell anybody that'll listen. And even if you won't listen, I'll tell you anyway how much I care about that place. Because it is special. It is cool, man. And, like, I hear from Brentwood people that say, like, yeah, I listen to you on The Fan. Or I read you in the Post-Gazette. Or, you know, whatever. Like, it's a cool way of connecting with people and staying connected with people that you grew up with. So hello to everybody from Brentwood. I may have went to college with or went to high school with you or know you. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome to be able to talk to Baldwin people who listen all the time. It happens all the time at games. People will come up and say something and
yep.
They'll say something. Well, why did Starkey say this to you? Where did Starkey come up with city limits? You know how many times I probably hear that on a weekly basis?
Notice I haven't called you that once.
No, you have not.
I haven't. I figured you should.
A lot of people like to.
You should have a limitless day. I know why he calls you limits, but I'm sticking with Austin.
No limits.
No limits.
No limits on limits we've come up with as well.
All right. What do we want to do? Do we want to do the movie draft now, or do we want to take a break, do it when we come back, and then get to Hathorn?
That's up to you.
Segment?
I think we might be able to get it in now or to end the show. It's completely up to you. This is your ship.
Let's do it now. I don't want to wait.
All right, let's do it.
All right, first pick. In the movie draft. Ooh, I like it. I like the NFL Films music in the background. Who we got?
Oh, I have the first pick.
Yes.
Oh, I was not aware of this.
I said, yeah, okay. You have the first pick.
With the first pick in the sports movie draft, the Austin Bechtold team selects Rocky, a classic movie that, yes, is dubbed as a sports movie. Rocky Balboa, The Philadelphia Steps. The movie does not need any further explanation, Jason. I take Rocky with my first pick.
That's a strong first pick, Austin.
Thank you. That is hard to refute.
Mine is not going to venture too far from my comfort zone and my favorite place to be. The only thing that I was debating, do I go with one or the other, but I cannot pass up Cleveland, City of Light, City of Magic, Major League.
That's a good pick. All right, I'm going to take this one before you take it because I know you're going to take this. And this is my favorite sports movie. I went with Rocky first because I feel like it's universally beloved. But this movie is universally beloved, but more beloved by me than any.
Oh my gosh, I can't What? Give me a
Field of Dreams.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm taking Field of Dreams with my next pick.
I would not have taken Field of Dreams.
Really?
Yes.
You don't like Field of Dreams?
I have a weird relationship with it after my dad died in 2018, but I've not watched it since then. I probably won't, and that's why I wouldn't draft it. But yes, I've obviously seen it. I've seen it a bunch. Baseball movie wise, though, I'd take Bull Durham ahead of Field of Dreams. Maybe that's a controversial take. I don't know. I'd take Major League over it as well. But certainly in the sports movie draft, it's hard to go wrong with Field of Dreams. And now
Yeah, your next pick, because Field of Dreams is off the table now.
Well, I don't think I would have went there. Sports movie. Quick sidebar. Which sport has the best movies?
Baseball.
We got into this argument in spring training last year. This is the kind of thing you do in spring training, by the way. You argue over, this is like players and reporters. We're going around asking people who has better movies. And it was football or baseball. And my argument was baseball. But there were a few that tried to argue. Kanan Smith and Jigbo was one, tried to argue for football. But I can't go away from that.
Yeah, what really good football movies are there outside of like two or three? I mean, you could put The Longest Yard in there.
Yeah.
You could put The Blind Side in there. I'm trying not to give away my draft board at all, but
no, I mean it's completely fair. Yeah. All right, I need a clarification. Is this our favorite sports movies, or like what we think is going to be the most popular? Because I have two that I want to take from my personal list, but they're not going to be on a typical.
Let's do our list. Okay. Our own personal list.
All right, let's do that. Necessary Roughness.
Necessary Roughness.
Yes, sir.
Never seen it. No.
All right. So it's Scott Bakula, Sinbad, Kathy Ireland. We'll have to specify this because this would never show up on like a top five sports movie. It's one of those like cult underrated classics, but if that is on, probably more than any other sports movie, I will watch it. I know it verbatim. Don't throw it to Stonehands.
That's a good cast.
Oh, it's incredible. It's so good. Keep your eyes on the ball, son. While you're at it, keep your hands on the ball, too.
Would you consider this a sports movie? Because I do. My next pick is Caddyshack.
Oh, yeah.
It's a golf movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely a sports movie.
Yep.
And that is a classic. Like, I'm not the biggest golf fan. I'm starting to become a golf fan and, trying to golf more.
Yeah.
But I definitely think that Caddyshack is up there in the top five.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and you're going to be... Like, people would look at your list and my list, and they'd call me crazy. By the way, a quick reset. Rocky, Field of Dreams, and Caddyshack go to Austin. I have Major League and Necessary Roughness in an opening for my third slot. I don't know how I'm going to fill. Actually, I do. But, yeah, you have more of the traditional sports movies, the popular ones.
Yeah, and I think I'm going to pick another one unless you take it next.
Bull Durham is my pick in the third round. Is it safe?
No.
What do you got?
Sandlot. Yep.
Yeah. I went hard on baseball, and that's fine.
You did go very hard on baseball.
Well,
I mean, I took two baseball.
Yeah. No, this is getting hard. I feel like I'm not going to take this, but I'm very high on it. I can't take two off the board choices, but The Program, a very underrated football movie. Have you seen The Program?
No, I have not.
Oh, my goodness. James Caan. Trying to think who else, but it's about like the dirty underworld of college football, and who's in it? Omar Epps is in it. Really good, man. Really good. And then this is hard for me. I'm gonna go hockey, but I can't.
Did you already? Is it back to me?
No, it's not back to me. You went Sandlot. I have my fourth round pick.
I thought you took The Program.
No, I said I can't do that.
Oh,
I said
okay,
I'm not going to take The Program because I wanted to go off the board with one pick to make it like uniquely mine. People look at it, what are you doing? And The Program was the other one I was wrestling with.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm going to go with Miracle.
Okay, I was going to take Miracle.
Which is going to get me crushed for not taking Slapshot. But I would take Miracle over Slapshot, so I'm going to wear it.
Yeah, and a couple of people on the text line have already said, how has Slapshot not been taken?
I
was going to take Miracle if you didn't take it.
So you have to take Slapshot then to keep people on the text line off of us.
I will take Slapshot. How many more picks do we have?
I don't know. We could go 10 if we wanted to. I just had 5 written down, but I don't think there's any limit on this thing.
Let's go seven.
All right.
So you have 3 more picks. I have 2 more picks.
I like it. I could talk about sports movies all day long, by the way. It's fantastic. Varsity Blues. Going football again? You've seen Varsity Blues, right?
Yes.
Okay. Making sure.
I'm going with Hoosiers.
Okay.
Iconic basketball movie.
Just, I know.
One of my favorites.
Moneyball.
Yeah. I thought about it. All based on her true story, huh? Don't you love the...
Mostly.
Don't you love the meme of Billy? There's this 5'8" third baseman. He hits just about over 300 most of the time with runners in scoring position. He doesn't play that well of defense. I think he would factor in great on our team hitting eighth.
Yeah. It's a great play on that. I like it. All right, what do you got?
All right, so it's up to me. To reset the music. And let's go with, yeah, this will count. How about Happy Gilmore?
Oh, more golf. Happy.
More golf.
All right.
They're doing a Happy Gilmore 2, by the way.
They are. So I got duped on that. My kids are big into Happy Gilmore. They're 6 and 11. They probably shouldn't be that into Happy Gilmore, but they are. For whatever reason, I thought it was playing on New Year's Day, but I think it was like a trailer or something that was dropping. So I'm like, let's watch Happy Gilmore. It's on Netflix. No, it's not on Netflix.
Isn't Kelsey in it?
Yeah, he makes a cameo.
Yeah, whatever. I'm so tired of that.
I am too. It's a
I'm
lot.
I'm sick of the Chiefs.
It's a.
I'm just sick of them. Like, I'm starting to feel the same way as I felt about the Patriots. But the Patriots was worse because they would constantly beat you.
Yep.
And, you know, being the Steelers, I mean, the Chiefs not as much. But whenever the Chiefs have played the Steelers, it's pretty much been domination. You haven't even felt like it's been close.
Right.
A lot of those Patriots games were like that, but.
Austin, I can't believe what I'm looking at here. I found a list of, this is Rolling Stone's 30 best sports movies.
Yes.
What do you think's number one?
I don't know, but it might be the next one that I'm taking, so I don't know if I want to say it. Is it The Karate Kid?
No. Oh, Karate Kid. That's an interesting, I'm not taking that. Hoop Dreams.
Really?
Would you have gone Hoop Dreams?
No.
If you were going to go Hoop Dreams, I would give you the pick.
No, I was not taking Hoop Dreams.
All right. So you're up, seventh pick.
No, you're up. You're seventh pick. I picked Happy Gilmore.
Oh, you went Happy Gilmore.
Yes.
You threw me off because you had another said you had another pick.
I do. I have my eighth pick ready to go, but I got to wait for your pick.
Wait,
right
I
now.
Thought we were only doing seven.
Oh, never mind. I got confused. Well, my seventh pick would have been Rudy.
Ooh, okay. I'm going Remember the Titans.
A lot of people on the text line were pleading for Remember the Titans to be showcased.
Rudy's very high for me too, but I would take Remember the Titans, having lived in that area and covered those teams. And yeah,
all right, I like our list.
So Austin Bechtold's team, the all sports movie, we drafted seven for whatever reason because we felt like it. Rocky, Field of Dreams, Caddyshack, Sandlot, Slapshot, Hoosiers, Happy Gilmore, My Team, Major League, Unnecessary Roughness, Bull Durham, Miracle, Varsity Blues, Moneyball, and Remember the Titans. I'm happy with our teams.
I'm very happy with the teams.
Do we tweet it out and say who won?
1,000% we will. I think I might have won.
Yeah, I think you might have won too. I think you might have won, but that's okay. I'm debating which anything that didn't get picked that was egregious. I mean, people will chime in. These are also sports movies. Yeah.
Blindside, maybe.
Yeah. If you want to call The Big Lebowski a sports movie, I wouldn't.
A League of Their Own.
A League of Their Own. Respectable.
Dodgeball, Talladega Nights were also on the board.
Yeah. But a lot of the older movies.
Longest Yard.
Yeah. The Longest Yard, old one. Bad News Bears. Somebody will get mad about that.
Google considers Ford versus Ferrari a sports movie.
I've never heard of that.
It's a newer movie. You never heard of Ford versus Ferrari? No. I haven't seen it yet, but it looks like it's incredible.
No, sir. Friday Night Lights. We missed that. The Natural. That's one.
Yeah, The Natural's good. Robert Redford.
Crushed for. Welcome back to the Pomp and Joe Show. I'm Jason Mackey, here with you for about another 30 minutes before the PM team takes over. Enjoyed our draft of sports movies. Austin Bechtold and I went seven rounds. Put it out on Twitter. Vote on who you think won. Have a quick call from Tom in North Huntington. Wants to talk about Tin Cup and the greatest game ever played. I'm willing to bet that Tom has some issues with our draft, but Tom, you're on the fan. What's going on?
got no issue with your draft. I'm just saying that two great golf movies didn't get mentioned, and they at least deserve an honorable mention. Tin Cup, watched that multiple times, enjoy it every time, and The Greatest Game Ever Played, about Francis Ouimet winning the 1913 U.S. Open against some of the greatest golfers in the world. Just think they at least deserve an honorable mention.
All right. We didn't have an honorable mention category, though, Tom.
Well, I think you need to develop one.
You're probably right. But we could go honorable mention on and on. There are all kinds of...
I know, but...
Great part of it.
You know, they deserve an honorable mention because they didn't get mentioned, but I think they should be part of the original seven.
Okay. All right, what's my team is Major League, Necessary Roughness, Bull Durham, Miracle, Varsity Blues, Moneyball, and Remember the Titans. Which one of those would you take off to put on Tin Cup?
Moneyball, Remember the Titans.
Why those two?
Because I think the two golf movies have a greater stance than those two baseball movies.
Moneyball was about an entire trend that affected
the football.
Yeah, and Remember the Titans was about racial segregation and a whole...
Well, I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I'm just saying selections should be considered.
I bet. No, I know. I know. I hear you. And that's the great thing about these. People are always going to disagree. And especially with sports movies, they're such a fantastic thing. And thank you for the call, Tom. I appreciate it. It is a shame that sports movies aren't made with more regularity. I guess they don't move the needle. I don't know. But I love them. I wish they were out all the time. We had so many omissions. You know, Invincible was one I'd throw in there. I actually need to text Drew Maggi. You guys remember Drew Maggi? Pirates infielder, has a great story. 13 seasons in minor league baseball. I was talking to Drew a couple years ago in Altoona, and he said the people who did Remember the Titans and Miracle had actually been in touch with him about his story. I don't think anything ever came of it, but they wanted to learn more, and I ended up writing about it at the time, and I'm sure I would have heard more, but wanted to check in with Drew. I saw a video of him on Twitter, his first major league hit, and just such a cool moment, something that doesn't get talked about a whole lot, but pretty easy to think back about Drew Maggi and get a little nostalgic. We have Jeff?
We got him.
All right. I see a Jeff on the screen. I just want to make sure I'm looking at the right thing. So Odyssey Sports Director Jeff Hathorn joins us on the Fan Hotline. Jeff, how are you, man?
I'm good, Jason. I apologize for being late. They did a little extra practice today.
You were not late? I was told Jeff Hathorn at 1:35, and exactly 1:35. You could not be more on time if you tried.
Creative timing.
Yes.
Creative timing.
Best sports movie of all time, Jeff. What is it?
Ooh.
I know. It's impossible to answer off the cuff
Hoosiers.
Like that. Hoosiers. Proud member of the Austin Bechtold All Sports Movie Team.
Yeah, I mean, Hoosiers is just, here's the thing about Hoosiers. Like, when we did some of those drills. Like, they're actual drills.
Yeah.
Gene Hackman seemed like an actual coach. And they, you know, they played in these tiny little gyms that when you grew up in Mercer County, played in some of the same type of gyms. So, I mean, listen, there are a lot of great sports movies. You can go from, you know, if you want to go to comedy, you know, Caddyshack is awesome. And there's obviously a lot of great baseball movies. And Remember the Titans is a great movie, and there's a ton of them.
I've always have a soft spot in my heart for them. I could talk about them endlessly, and I could keep you here for our entire segment talking sports movies, but I won't do that. Let's talk about the Bengals on Saturday night and what you see is important. I know a lot of talk from the facility the past couple days about the communication breakdowns. Do you have any faith that this is going to stop, Jeff? What do you see the defense? Are they going to be able to come out and stop Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and Joe Burrow? And it's a tall task. Do you think they're up to it?
You know, I think they've done what they've wanted to do this week. I mean, like I mentioned, they were a little later today. They had some extra practice. They had some extra time on the field together, called for by the players. They kind of aired out the grievances. It seemed like there was more communication in practice or louder communication in practice, all those things you want to hear. To me, the test is this. At some point, Burrow is going to beat him for something, because you're not going to keep him from out, you know, without making big plays. So how do they respond after that happens? So whether it's a touchdown or a chunk play, like, do they all of a sudden think, all right, I'm going to go try to make a play and start that whole cycle of errors that has happened here over the last couple of weeks? Or do they stay with what they're saying? Be where they're supposed to be. Trust the guy next to them. That, to me, is the big key. I mean, all this stuff is great, but when they get on the field and they face a little adversity, do they revert what they've done the last couple of weeks and guys trying to be individuals, or do they trust each other as a team?
Interesting. Jeff, to change on the – I want to get to this before we run out of time, but on the other side of the ball, I'm curious how much Justin Fields plays on Saturday, if at all. Being at practice, have you seen an uptick in his participation? I know he was battling an injury. You know, has it been enough that you're also curious about the level that he could play against the Bengals?
Well, he's healthy. I mean, he's going through full practices. I would look at it this way. What happens the first time they get in the red zone? Is there success? Does it seem like this offense is just rolling with Russ like they were the last time they played the Bengals? And I don't think you'll see a lot of Justin. If we're seeing the struggles continue, and they need some third down conversions or maybe run a little play in the red zone, I think absolutely Justin could play a part of that. And, you know, like the last couple of weeks, you know, he's either been out or been dealing with an injury. I think this is the first time he's been healthy in about a month. And also prior to that, they haven't really needed him because of the success they've had. They need him now.
Yeah.
We'll see what they're able to do early. And if they struggle early, yes, you will see some Justin Fields.
Jeff, my read on the quarterback situation, I was talking about this earlier in the show. I mean, they brought in Russ for a reason. I think Russ, by and large, has had a pretty good year. I think it's kind of clouded by the past four games. They've played some tough opponents, haven't played their best football. I'm not sure if everything affecting Russ has been his fault. Is that a train?
Yeah, I'm just going to try to jump on a moving train.
Good, good. I love it. I've been on your end of that quite a few times, and now I'm on the in-studio end of it. But what do you think Russell Wilson's future is with the Steelers? Do you think if he plays well over the final two games that he's definitely back? If he plays poorly, do you think he's definitely gone? How do you sort of balance that?
I think the desire is to have him for a couple more years, but I don't think that's been set in stone. I truly believe with this decision, maybe with others it's different, but with this decision, they're going to sit at a table and map this out on the entirety of the season, what he brought, if this is the style they want to play, you know, what can they do in the immediate future, and is he the guy to help mentor a young guy, which I think he is, and I think that becomes a factor in this. So if he's great over the next couple of games, obviously that boosts his stock. If he's bad, you know, maybe they do take a second look at it, but I think Russ is the guy they want for now, especially when you look at the draft in this quarterback class. I don't see anybody, at least that's immediate help, but maybe you take a flyer on a Dylan Gabriel or somebody later in the draft, and you put them, you know, under Russ's tutelage, and you give them a couple of years. Meanwhile, you're still playing to win now with Russell Wilson. I think there's been enough that they're intrigued by him. And the wild card also is we don't know what Russ wants. If he wants $40 million, I don't know that the Steelers would be willing to pay at that type of level.
Yeah, that's kind of quite literally the million-dollar question. What can you get him for? I mean, $20 million, I would be interested. I'd probably sign that deal right now. $30 million, I don't know. I think I'd want some context. $40 million, I'm out.
Yeah, $30 million, I'd think about. 35 would really be at my edge. I mean, listen, this team's going to have salary cap room, but they obviously need to purchase some receivers.
Yes.
That needs to improve right away, and there's going to be other areas where their guys' contracts are going to elevate or they're going to look to shore up as well. So they've got it. They've got money for a quarterback, but if they're going to spend crazy money, but I don't think that, like, Sam Darnold is the guy I'm like, ooh, I can't wait to get somebody like that. So I don't know if there's a free agent out there that would really wow them where they would pay a ton of money for. And, you know, the Justin situation is interesting. You assume he's probably going to try to find somewhere where he could start. But could they sell him on, hey, spend another year under Russ, and then maybe you got it? I don't know. That's it's all going to, how it all washes out will be intriguing because the entire room's up for free agency.
Yeah, it really is. There's going to be some movement one way or another. Fan Twitter, it's brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them today at southhillskia.net. One more question with Jeff Hathorn, Odyssey Sports Director. Jeff, the Steelers voted TJ Watt as their team MVP. Do you agree with that? Could you make a counter argument for anybody else, specifically maybe Chris Boswell? Trying to think who else would fall into that discussion. Maybe Cam Hayward. I have a tough time arguing with TJ Watt, but you know, Boz has had a pretty good year too.
Yeah, listen, TJ's been spotty. Boswell has had a great year. Only one other time have they had a kicker, and that was Gary Anderson a couple of decades ago. I don't know if I would have gone kicker. I mean, I appreciate what Boswell has done. Cam Hayward actually was, if we had a vote and we don't, this is by players, Cam would have gotten my vote because I think consistently what he has done for this entire year, how he leads the team, and obviously TJ's a captain as well, but to get 70 tackles on the inside, 8 sacks on the inside, has been remarkable for a guy that's 35. And the way he leads this team by the example he sets, you can't go wrong with TJ. 11.5 sacks, 6 forced fumbles is the big stat to me.
Yep.
But if I were going to make a case for anyone, it would be Hayward, but I don't have a problem with TJ Watt. Here, the crazy thing is you think of all the great players, no one's been named team MVP more than him.
Yeah. Now it's time to win in the playoffs. Now it's time to make a run. Now it's time to do the stuff that really matters. I mean, nobody needs convinced of TJ Watt being a great, great generational player. Hope he wins the Defensive Player of the Year award this year. Should have won it last year, but yeah, playoff wins, man. Playoff wins. Jeff, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Jason.
All right, Jeff Hathorn, Odyssey Sports Director. Appreciate him as always. Jeff does a fantastic job. You can check him out on Twitter at Jeff Hathorn, on the 93.7 The Fan website where Jeff writes, well, Jeff has more bylines than me. I know that much, and that's a pretty notable thing. So, welcome back to the Pomp and Joe Show. Jason Mackey with you for a couple more minutes here on 93.7 The Fan. Thank you so much to Austin Bechtold, the pride of Baldwin, fighting Highlander behind the glass, doing a great job. Enjoyed this, my man.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Good working with you, Jason.
Good working with you, too. Busy show. A lot that went into today. Thank you again to Ray Fittipaldo from the Post-Gazette. Joined us early. Max Ralph from the Harrisburg Patriot News. And Jeff Hathorn, of course, Odyssey Sports Director, who you heard just a few minutes ago. Talking a lot of Steelers. More Pirates than I originally intended to, but it turned into an interesting conversation. An argument I know I'm not going to win, or a way of thinking that I don't think is appealing to people given the way the Pirates have handled this offseason. But hey, it's still reality, and I still think they could have a halfway decent season. It's going to be interesting to see what happens if they do. A couple more things I want to remind you of. It is now 1:52, the time to make that call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums at 724-443-5610. And the 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on Route 19 in Peters Township. 1:50, what's cooking, brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Surprised you guys don't. Do you drop in the Ron Cook from now on that? Or do you do it?
No, we always say it.
Okay. All right. It was funny hearing Ron's. Great for talk radio, my man. I miss Ron. What a beauty. The first beer absolutely has to be cracked. He's on a beach somewhere smiling, as he should be.
Every day at 10 o'clock.
Every day. Really?
I don't know that for sure.
It wouldn't shock me. It also wouldn't shock me if Ron had some sort of rule where he's like, I can't drink a beer before 2 o'clock. But the minute 2 o'clock rolls around, that's when you hear that sound. I just made up 2 o'clock. I don't know. But Ron is a man who likes his routine. There's nothing wrong with that. Kind of curious, this will be a really quick thing, but the Penguins tomorrow night in Florida. I think this is going to be an intriguing game. The Florida Panthers, very good. Not sure what to make of the Penguins. They're kind of hanging perilously. What are they? Are they good? Are they not? Have a game against the Devils where they lay an egg. Then they play really well against the Flyers, lay an egg on Long Island, come back. They play really well in Detroit. They're not able to win. They need to gain some traction here. It can't really just a little bit one way, a little bit the other way, and the schedule does not ease up whatsoever. in Florida, 2 days later at Carolina, Columbus, yeah, it's whatever. Then you come home 2 days after that, Edmonton. It's a tough, tough month for the Penguins and need to make some headway. I wish I was able to talk about them a little bit more. There's some intriguing stuff going on there with Tristan Jarry, the power play, bouncing back, Sidney Crosby and his milestones, Rickard Rakell, the direction they can go. But I'm back on Friday night. I can talk about that then. Thank you so much for listening. Appreciate all the calls in here and the feedback. They mean so much every day. And that does it for me here on 93.7 The Fan.